CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. China. The decline in China's GDP is a blow to the regime in Beijing, a blow to the Chinese people. What is to be done? The reopening is the metaphor. Yes, but where? And is it trustworthy? The headline at CNBC, "The worst is over." That's a quote. Tech investors are bullish on investing in China again. And then from Qibo Tang, managing partner at Gobi Partners, investing in early stage tech and media companies in China. Quote, "I think the government has a clear signal about what they hope to do this year in terms of gross domestic product growth, jobs, and domestic consumption." Well, we go to Ann Stevenson Yang, author of the upcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. And Gordon reminds me that when you see your adversary in terms of what you think about for yourself, that's known as mirror imaging, and it leads to very bad mistakes. Do you measure that the investment community, early stage, late stage, full bore, is seeing in China a rational actor again, someone, some entity that wants profit over ideology? Good day to you, Anne.
Good day, John. I love the term mirror imaging. I think it's pretty simple with the investment world. They need growth and they're looking for growth and people pitch growth. I just think that, you know, look as I might, I just can't find it in China, whether in the tech sector or elsewhere. You did have a big rally in the tech markets post-October because everybody hoped for that, but that rally has come off now.
Gordon, I have a question for Anne.
And there have been signals from Beijing that the tech crackdown is over, though there have been signals the other way as well. But going back to John's mirror imaging, I guess we tend to think that any society that has gone through COVID like China has would want to open, would want to make sure that the economy becomes vibrant again. And so therefore, we assume that China's regime is thinking the way we would. If you could comment on the direction you see China taking, not only with regard to tech, but also the economy as a whole.
Well, I would say one thing politically and two things economically. The political thing is that I don't know what we mean when we talk about China's regime anymore. It's very clear to me that Xi Jinping is not totally steering the ship anymore. All of his major policies have been reversed. But the question is, who is? What is his role and what are the policies? So I think what we're seeing is a bunch of policy freelancing, and there will be a bunch of volatility in the coming year. As for economically, there are sort of two problems with that analysis. One problem is that China never provided stimulus or support for people who are out of work during COVID. So their savings have not risen appreciably. And that means that people are not going to come outdoors and suddenly spend the way Americans did. The other problem, which is more deeper and more fundamental, is that it really all depends on the real estate industry. And real estate has not and is not coming back. You still see construction down by like 30%. You still see housing sales down by like 30%. It's just not coming back. And that would be sort of a third of the economy.
A report in Bloomberg, Anne, this morning, reports that China's households are hoarding cash. That doesn't sound like a positive. It would not be a positive here, hoarding cash. Why would they do that? What does it mean about the economy?
I wonder what that's really based on. Savings rates in China have always been rather high compared with international standards for a number of reasons. But you haven't really seen savings at the banks go up a lot during the COVID era. They went up a little bit more than in 2019, but not a ton. And people we've interviewed in China say, yeah, I don't have any particular savings. So I might take a trip now that the country's open, but it'll be a one-time thing and I'm not going to go out and spend a pack of money.
They're counting on the consumer, correct? That's what China needs in order to restore its growth ambitions, the consumer. Is there evidence that the consumer is loosening the pocketbook?
Well, I think internationally, people are counting on the consumer, but domestically in China, the consumer has never been the engine of growth. And in fact, the strategies are all around raising investment rather than raising consumption. They simply don't have the channels to help raise consumption. It's not built into the political system.
Gordon, you have a question.
Well, Anne, that then raises the question, is the government going to increase stimulus and government spending so as to make up for, you know, failure of consumers to power the economy?
You know, I don't think so, but that's just a hunch. They did in December come up with a really quite large stimulus for, now, I don't know about stimulus or bailout for property developers, promising 4.8 trillion renminbi in new loans and bond issues. But we haven't heard anything about it since then. So that kind of fits into my narrative of volatility and undependability. But I don't see any policy statements that would suggest that they're going to stimulate. There's no loan demand, for one thing.
Anecdote only, but anecdote from the mainland is that manufacturers are looking for business. They're calling up, they're lowering their prices, they're looking to recover in some fashion. This in the great reopening. Is there any indication that we can see from the outside that the factories are still idle, that the orders are not coming in, that there's been a profound change in trust in manufacturing in China?
I'm not sure that there's been any profound change, and I don't have the factory data just doesn't come out regularly enough or frequently enough that you can see what's going on. I would look at the Baltic Dry Index, though, which refers to shipping internationally, and that number is way, way down. It's down at, you know, 2007 levels or something.
And what does that mean, Anne, for China?
That just means that stuff is not being shipped around. So there's kind of low demand for commodities, and you know, it looks like the industrial economy is weak. But as I say, we don't have a ton of indicators yet.
So we have two different understandings here. The first, there was the investment class, which can be the gamblers in the markets, and can also be those looking for future big companies to get their money in early. And then we have manufacturing, and I'll pull in with that the housing market, and those remain unknown or sluggish. Is all that correct, Anne?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think you have the investor class, which was sort of getting high off volatility or off, off markets rising over the last few years, and they see a loose monetary environment, and they hope that that's going to keep happening, but it just doesn't look that way.
Gordon, we have about a minute if you have a quick question.
So, Anne, what about exports? Can that save the Chinese economy?
No, they have a really high base last year to comp, and nobody in the exporting community seems to think that they're going to meet last year's numbers. I think that the currency will probably weaken, and so that will help exporters. But it's a kind of tough outlook, and that's largely up to international demand.
So when we read a comment in the U.S. press, the worst is over, you must be very careful about what that refers to. The worst for betting, the worst for investment in high tech, investment in ability to get your money out fast. The worst is over could also be misleading because it's not about China going back to the way it was. Is that a fair summary, Anne? We don't know what the future is in China.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary, John.
Anne Stephenson Yang, author of the upcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. so the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.